desire your prayers that our Lord will bless our feeble efforts, bring forth some of the word. I want to speak to us about the world and its vanity, and how we need to be delivered from this world of sin, what it is, what the Word of God has to say about this wicked world. We're living in a terrible world. Society sunk in the pit of mire of unbelief, immorality, darkness and ignorance. And it's going to mean much for us to come clear of the world and then live clear of the world and be overcomers of the world. So Lord, help us today. I want us to notice 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17 to start off with. And let's pray the Lord will bless and help us tonight. We're in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. We are in a wicked world. It's like one person says, the boat can be in the water, but when the water gets in the boat, then you've got troubles. And so it is with this world. When we're in this world, we can be in this world, but we don't want the world in us. We can live triumphant over the world. And I would like to encourage, especially our young people and children, to realize this. You know, when I was a boy growing up, the world had its lure and its charm to me. It had its beckoning. It had an attraction, the pleasures of the world, sports and entertainment and television and all of these things that the world had to offer, the lusts and desires of the body, pleasures and all these things, male and female and the opposite sex and all. But you know, that had an attraction to me, and it allured me, and it had me for a while. But you know, I thank the Lord I came to a place where I renounced the world, gave up the world, gave up its styles, its fads, its fashions, and I gave my heart to the Lord. And dear ones, it's much better to live a Christian life and follow Christ than to go after this fleeting, vain, frivolous world. It really is. We need to get a vision of this. This is a very important thing. Notice what the apostle says here. He says, love not the world. Sweet writing to young men and all of us, of course. Because ye are strong, he said, verse 14. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man... Now this is emphatic speech. It is true. It is no other way. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now we need to get that in our mind. We cannot love the world and love Christ. You cannot have the world and have Christ. You've got to make up your mind and make a decision betwixt the two. You cannot have the pleasures and the defilements and the lust and the evil things of this world and have Christ. It will not work. There are some people that try it. They try to just have a little bit of the world and go along, and that does not work. Christ will not live in a heart that is beguiled and infatuated with this world. Lord, help us today. He says, all that is in the world. He's going to define now what he's talking about. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Lust means, it's a word that means strong desire. Strong desire. Appetites. The appetites of the flesh. Lust, uncontrolled, undisciplined, ungoverned by the Spirit of God. That's what he's talking about here. That's what makes the world the defiling place that it is, because of their uncontrolled, undisciplined, unholy appetites and the things that's ruling the lives of people today. You know, all you have to do is just lift up your eyes and look around and be observant. And you can see we're living in a world that's dominated by uncontrolled desires. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So thank the Lord for this wonderful truth. And may the Lord help us all lift up our eyes and let's get a vision of the real Christ, the pure, holy, innocent Christ, and the defiling world, and make our decision of what we're going to do and live as we have different scriptures in the Word that it says in John 1 and 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. When Jesus came into the world, He was of a different culture. He was a different spirit than the world. The world did not receive Him. He even came into His own, the Jewish nation, and they didn't receive Him. But as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Thank God. Those that believe in His name, that renounce the world and give up the world, those have become the sons of God. Thank God. And this is the condemnation, John 3 and 19, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The light has come to the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then in Matthew, the chapter 5, He said, Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Also we have in Philippians chapter 2, it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. 2 and 14 and 15. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, dear ones, we're in a world that's lost in sin, a world that's defiled, that's polluted, that's filthy, and displeasing to God. So, Lord, help us today. This is a serious thing. We're in a close place. We're in a world, but we must stay clear of this world. We must renounce it. We must get to separate ourselves from it and give our hearts to God and live above this world. God wants us to be borne up on the wings of faith and holiness above this old wicked world so we can keep ourselves in the love of God. Oh, Lord, help us today. Oh, it says in other places here. I was thinking about Hebrews 7 and 26, where it says, For such a high priest became us, or he was made fit and proper for us, who is holy, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Listen, dear one, that was Christ. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from this world. He was not in connection or in fellowship with this world. He lived above it. He was holy. He was pure. He was humble. He was meek. He was loving, forgiving, kind, gracious, godly. And He wants us to be just that way too. Lord, help us today. Oh, can you not see the vision here of this world? John 1 and 27, it says there, well, let's just get that and read that. I want to be sure. I think I can quote it. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. Now that's you got a real responsibility to do good, to help others, to let your light shine and let your good works be seen and to be a blessing, and at the same time keep yourself unspotted from the world. Jesus was a friend of sinners, yes. He was a friend of people, but He did not lower Himself to partake of their evil and their ungodliness. He kept Himself undefiled and holy before God. Oh, he says in John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another company. Comforter, talking to his disciples before he left them. He says, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So you see, Jesus was not in any way in fellowship with this wicked world. The ungodliness and the wickedness and the pride and the vanity and covetousness and greed and strife and hatred and envy and murder. He was not in any way connected with this world. He was free and clear as our Savior. It's the way he wants us to be. May the Lord help us. Let's read a little more. In John 17, I want to notice different things that he said. These are the words of Jesus. That he was to show us how separate he was from the world. You know, the world, I want to mention this too. In the history of the world, we have two generations that's stemming from Adam. We have the generations and the lineage of Cain. And his lineage went out, and it was an ungodly lineage. It was a wicked bunch of people, and they multiplied real fast. And then we have the lineage from Seth. Seth was the third son of Adam. And from his lineage we have Noah and Enoch and Abraham on down. But you see, this world, the wickedness of Cain's generations defiled this world and got real bad. And according to history, they were trying to allure the sons of Seth to come and join up with them. But the sons of Seth were trying to keep separate from them. And they're trying to keep true. But there was an allurement. They would put their women out and show them in their bodily forms, unclothed, trying to allure the men from report. Was it the lineage of Seth was living off up in the upper realms, upper parts of the mountains, and trying to stay away from them, but they kept on being allured. And finally, the sons of Seth, according to history, came down and began to mix and mingle with the sons of Cain. And that's what brought on the terrible condition of the world in the time of Noah. You read over there in the sixth chapter of John, with the sons of God looked upon the women, upon the daughters of men, and saw that they were fair, and they went in unto them. That's not talking about angels, like a lot of people say. It was the sons of Seth. It was a people that had been trying to be clear and to be true. And they went and they mixed and mingled with the sons of Cain and the daughters of Cain. And that's what the world just got swamped in wickedness. And God looked on it and said, I'm sorry I ever made man. He said, I'll destroy man. I'll destroy him off the face of the earth. Oh, dear ones, God is still displeased and grieved. I don't know, sometimes when I look and see what all is going on in this world, I ask myself, I say, Lord, how long? How long will it be? How long are you going to put up with this? This is terrible, the things that are going on. But God is long-suffering. It says in one place where the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, wherein a few, wherein the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, carried safely through the water. That's the only ones that were saved. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, only ones. Everyone else rejected his message. He was a preacher of righteousness. God told him, said, I'm going to destroy this world. I want you to build an ark to save your house. And we find over there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, when he was warned of God of things not seen of yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness by faith. You see, he condemned that wicked world back there by obeying God and doing the will of God. And then all the world was perished, overflowed with water. Oh, may the Lord help us today. that we realize we're living in a world that's condemned. And then we find in 2 Peter, the third chapter, it says, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, and the heavens which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This world is rocking and reeling in the brink of eternity and destruction. Dear friends, Lord, help us that we'll separate ourselves from this world and renounce it and give our hearts to God and live for Him. Be free and be separate from this wicked old world. I wanted to read some here in the 17th chapter of John, that some of the words of our blessed Jesus. He says in the 6th verse, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. You see, He had these men that God gave Him. He took them out of the world. God took them. They left the world. They left the world behind. And they came and joined themselves to Jesus. He says, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. All right, verse 9, it says, I pray for them. What's He praying them for? His disciples? What's He praying for? I pray not for the world. He's not praying for the world here. Praying for these disciples that God gave Him out of the world. But for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Verse 14, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now listen, if God can say that about you and me, that is the thing He wants to say. That you are not of the world, even as He is not of the world. Have you given up the world? Are you still catering? Are you still hanging on to some of the world and its fashions and follies and pleasures and desires and appetites and lusts? Jesus said to these men, He says, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. My dear ones, He said in another place, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Oh, I tell you, dear ones, you find this, you'll meet this, you give your heart to God, and you start living a holy life, people are going to hate you and look down on you. That's just something you have to bear as a Christian, as a child. You just got to bear it. It'll never be any different. Let's see, I've got one more here. 14 and 6, listen. I pray not that Thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldst keep them from the evil. The Lord wants us to stay in the world. He wants to have a church. He wants to have a people right down here in the midst of this crooked world, living pure and clean. That's what He wants. And that's what He is going to have. You ever hear read that poem about, I can't quote it, of course, it's long, but it's quite something. The world and the church, and how they start getting together. Lord, help us today. Oh, you want to live for Jesus? You want to live a Christian life? You want to make heaven your home? You've got to get delivered from this world, and you've got to stay clear of it if you make heaven your home. If you've got any defilement of this world in your life, you won't make it into heaven. It'll be in that resurrection with Christ. You won't be there. Lord, help us today. 25th verse says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee. The world doesn't know the Father. I read that over there, isn't it? World, not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof. The world has not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. Oh, He wanted His people to be out of the world, be separate from the world, be pure and unspotted from the world. Lord, help us today. Jesus gave Himself, Galatians 1, 3 and 4. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. You know, the Lord wants to deliver us from this present evil world. And I'll tell you, dear ones, it means much. The Lord's not going to come down and take the world away from you. He's not going to come down and take these things out of your hand and out of your home and off your body and out of your heart. He's not going to do that. You've got to do some separation. You've got to take a stand against these things. I'll tell you, dear ones, when I was under conviction as a young boy, 17 years old in 1956, and I knew I was unsaved, and I had been enjoying some of the world, I made a date with a girl that I was liking in the world. She was a worldly girl. She was a nice girl. We loved each other and all. But I made a date with her. I said, now, I'm going to go to young people's meeting, and then I'm going to come and meet you at the ball game. The ball game, the basketball game. Our team was winning a state championship that year. It didn't mean anything to me now, but I thought it was pretty nice back then. But anyway, I told her, I said, I'll meet you there at the game. Now that's how much the world had a hold of me. I'll tell you, dear ones, I could go on and on about this sport, but I tell you, the older I see, the more I see that this world of sports, organized sports, the way they have it, I'm not talking about little games you play with your children and all that, but I'm talking about the worldly thing of sports, of money and pride and vanity. It's of the world. It's of the world. Now, if you want to go out and partake of it and watch it on TV and ha-ha and all that, that's your privilege to do it. But I'll tell you, dear ones, if you want to make heaven your home, you want to live for Jesus, you better lay all that stuff. It's not anything anyway. It ain't worth anything anyway. It's just a bunch of vanity. You'd be surprised what kind of lives those people live. How covetous and how spoiled they are. It's nothing. Oh, may the Lord help us. We just want to just keep ourselves delivered from this present evil world. Live out. Stand out. Stand out separate and clean from this present evil world. Oh, may the Lord help us. Galatians 4, 6 and 14 says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Think about that. Paul counted the world as crucified to him. He counted himself as crucified to the world, separated, dead to the world. We have a song, thought about it, number 380 a while ago. I looked at it. It says, we are dead to this world and its pleasures. Our affections are centered above, where we have such a wonderful treasure. It's a home in the city of love. And we find also in another place, I was thinking about the care of this world. Mark 4, it says that about the things that will are like the thorns that grow up and choke the word. And one of them was the cares of this world. Now, you know, the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, they'll choke you. There's been lots of people in our day that have been choked. Their spiritual life have been choked by the cares and the riches and the prosperity and the big money and the fine things and the nice homes and the nice cars and all these things, prosperity. And they have been choked to death spiritually with these things. Lord, help us today. Lord knows how to help us, and the devil knows how to come against us. He's a god of this world. We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, 4 and 4, it says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the gospel, of the glorious gospel of Christ, should shine unto them. That's the god of this world, the devil. He's capable of blinding people because of the lust. Did you know there's just some in this world, and most of the world, they just love the world. They love and they enjoy the things of the world. Why, they're having a time of their life. Why, they just have their old television, a great big old television, And I want to tell you, dear one, that's one of the worst curses this world's ever had. It is. The television. Did you know what the pattern of a lot of people's lives are? Come home from work of an evening, have a little dinner, get to the old television, and sit and watch it all through the evening and up into the morning. There's thousands and millions of people do that. Day after day after day. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you know it or not, the television ain't fit to have in your house. It is defiling. It's got the awfulest things coming over it. I wouldn't want to tell in this mixed crowd some of the things I've seen. Right now, I'm not going to do it, but I want to tell you some bad stuff. Every now and then, I have a privilege, an opportunity. I don't call it much of a privilege, but it's just kind of an opportunity or something, a chance, whatever you want to call it, to have a first-hand view of what's coming over that tube. Be surprised if you don't know. It's just awful. All the undress and immorality and wickedness and strife. Just get the old paper down sometime and look on the television page and just see what's coming over it. Thank God, I want to tell you something. Thank God our ministers back in the 1940s and 50s got a vision of this thing and began to cry out against it. They warned us. They preached on it. They put the red flag out. And then the ministers in 1959 at Monarch Springs, and I've got a copy of it, not with me, but they made a decree or decision, whatever you want to call it. But they all agreed that the television was not the thing for a saint's home. And advised not have it. And if any minister, this is the way, any minister allows the television in his home, he has lowered the standard and he's not a fit pattern for the saints. May the Lord help us today. Now that was back in the 1950s. Did you know that thing has gotten worse since then? Much worse. The bars have been let down. And it's a dope. It's a drug. It's a narcotic to our generation. That's what it is. People are so doped and stooped by that thing. Oh, dear ones, it's of the world. It's of the world. Let's take a stand against it. Now listen, you better watch this old video and DVDs, and also this internet too. I wonder sometimes why we haven't taken a stand against some of these other things. I won't tell you, it's terrible what's coming over. Are you going to keep clear of this world? Are you going to be true to God? Are you going to dabble around with some of these things? Lord, help us today. We want to be faithful and true. Romans 12 and 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, dear ones, you've got to sever yourself from this world. Give it up. Oh, it's nothing anyway. It's nothing but a bunch of vanity and lies. It's nothing but a bunch of trouble and heartache and disappointment. This world, you go after this world, you're going to be disappointed. It's not going to satisfy your soul. It's not going to make you happy. No, no. What will make you happy is giving all to Jesus. Didn't finish my little story about that night, but I did. I did that. I did. I went to prayer meeting. To young people's meeting. And while they were in prayer, I got up and went out. Now, wasn't that a sneaky thing to do? That's what I did. I went out and I went up to the field house where they were playing playing the basketball game, and I met my little girlfriend. I took her out for a ride in the car. I didn't do anything real bad wrong. The main thing I did was I wasn't supposed to do that. Wasn't supposed to go out. My parents had me corralled by a law that I had to be at home when night was. But I could go to church functions. And you see, I went out and I went riding with this girl. Had a nice time. It was nice. I didn't think my folks knew anything about it. I went on home. I got out of the car. My dad was waiting up for me. My dad said, "Where you been?" You know what? I couldn't answer him. I didn't answer him. It's a wonder he hadn't got a hold of me and worked me over. What he should have done, maybe. But anyway, he didn't. I just went on and headed right into my bedroom. But I'll tell you, I went in there and I lay down on that bed and I suffered torment. The Spirit of God so convicted me. I was in awful agony. I thought about doing it, but I didn't have the courage or the nerve. But I should have gone up and got up and went in there to my folks and broke down and confessed and asked their forgiveness. That's what I should have done. But I didn't do it. But I lay there and I suffered. I thought, was it worth it? Was it worth it, all that I enjoyed? Have now what I'm under now? My mother asked me about her a while, sometime after that, asked me about this worldly girl. I mean, she didn't just name it out, but I knew what she was talking about. My mother was a wise, godly woman. She asked me, and I don't remember what kind of answer. I didn't hardly give her. All she had to say was, "Son, I'm praying that God will sicken you out on that." That's all she needed to say, because that's exactly what happened. I came to a place where I decided I want to be saved. I want to live for Jesus. I want Him to be my Savior and friend. And I decided I'm going to give the whole thing up. I told her one night, I took her out one last time after the autograph party at the school. And I told her, I said, "I can't go with you anymore. I can't be with you." Oh, it was hard. Oh, it just about tore my heart out to do that. But I wanted to live for Jesus. I wanted to be saved. The Lord was calling me. Oh, dear ones, young people, it doesn't pay to go out after the world. I know you can get infatuated. You can get a tie out there that's hard. It was hard. Did you know it was months before I got over that thing? I mean, I separated. I didn't go with her no more. I didn't go see her no more. But it was months before I got over it emotionally. It's not easy to give up the world sometimes. The world has a tenacious way of getting a hold of you. Oh, it just gets you wrapped up in this. Not only that, but clubs and associations and different pleasures and things. And then the draw of money and wealth. Good jobs. I wanted to go to college and get a good education and then make lots of money. I wanted to have a nice home. And you know, I gave all that up. I gave my college education. I gave it all up when I gave my heart to the Lord. Thank God I did. Because He's given me a much better life than I could have ever had with this old world hanging on. Amen. Oh, yes. I thank the Lord. I'm so happy tonight. Oh, praise God. I want to read a little bit of 1 Corinthians 1 about the wisdom of this world. I'll tell you, dear ones, this is something you got to watch. This old worldly wisdom. This old worldly wisdom. It says over here at 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Oh, we need to know what he's saying here. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What's he saying? The world, after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, you see, Adam and Eve, or Eve, she was allured by the devil about that forbidden tree, because he said, one of the things he said was, well, he said, it is good for food. She saw it's good for food and it's pleasant eyes. But the devil says, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, she got wisdom, all right, but it was the wrong kind, and it separated her from God. And it started the world on a course of worldly wisdom and, I can't think of the word. Just kind of figuring things out. And what's the word, somebody? That's worldly wisdom. And it's got the world on it. People have worldly wisdom. Logic. That's the word I want. Logic. Just thinking, kind of figuring it out. We have this in the world today. It deceives a lot of people. I heard of one young man that was in college, and he was wanting to try to live for God and all, but you got to watch these colleges. Oh, my, I don't think I'm glad I never went to college. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to go to college, but you better know what you're doing. I've heard testimonies from a lot of people that these colleges are nothing but a detriment poison to spirituality. May the Lord help us. Anyway, I've lost my thought. Maybe I'll get it back. What?
Logic.
This young man, he was wanting to please the Lord and all, but he was going to college. A college professor got a hold of him one day and tore every bit of that thought that he had in his mind from a godly mother and raising him up. That professor tore the whole thing out of him. They can do it. You listen. They got logic. They got worldly wisdom. This world is cursed today. And people are, lots of good religious people are tainted with worldly wisdom, not spiritual enlightenment. And he goes on to say, in the second chapter, well, let's see here, 20 and 21. Yeah, I got that one. 27. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God can work these. Oh, look at our world tonight. Just look at it. Look at all the technology. Look at all the inventions. Look at all the things, the cars, the airplanes. Look at all these things. What does it amount to? It's a bunch of vanity. Now, we can use this world, as 1 Corinthians 7 says, they that use this world don't overuse it or abuse it, because the fashion of this world passes away. It's constantly changing. I wonder where they're going to stop. I'll tell you where they're going to stop: at the judgment day. There's just always something better, something more elaborate, something more expensive. It makes you sick to think about what's going on in this frivolous, fleeting world. And then you're one breath away from eternity, and you can leave this world, and it's all going to be left behind. Now, what's the point? What's the use of it? You can use some of these things. You can get on an airplane and fly across the country if you want to. Last time I did, I got so disgusted with the whole setup, I thought I'd never want to fly another airplane again. And I have. I'm not saying I won't, but it's so vain. It's why you go faster almost than your soul. Stop. Let your soul catch up with your body. Well, I'm telling you the truth. It's a myth. And look at all the terrorism and
and the terrible, the money to drain by the poor old, what those called airplanes go fast, the supersonic airliners, they've had to park all those things. Can't afford to pass. Look at Santa. What's the use? People ought to come back and take it easy and walk a little slower. You might live longer. May the Lord help us today. This world is in a big mess. 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad to be delivered. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We're not speaking the wisdom of this world, logic and man's ideas and all. No, we're not wanting that. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why did they want to crucify Jesus? Because He was not of the world and they were of the world. Did you know in the Jewish hierarchy and the leaders of the Jews, there was covetousness, there was strife, there was pride? You could just see it in reading about it. And that's why Jesus didn't fit in with their high, proud monarchy. He didn't work in with that. And they hated Him for that. And they had Him killed for that. The princes of this world, don't think that thing is dead yet. It can still happen today. It's happening even in some parts of our world. You know, read back in the history of the Dark Ages. Be surprised what has gone on in this wicked world. It's terrible. And yet, all through down through the ages, there have been people, humble, lowly, godly, righteous, holy people that have lived right in this wicked world. And God took them through and took them on to glory. What a wonderful reunion we're all going to have someday of those who have lived for Christ. Oh, my. It enraptures my soul just to think about all of us being, we've been saved and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Now we're all gathered together. Eternity's come and this world's passed away. Oh, that'll be wonderful. Lord, help us to live and be counted worthy of that. May the Lord help us. You know, John 16 and 33 says, Jesus said it this way. He says, "In these things I have spoken unto thee, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, Jesus overcame this world. Thank God for His courage. Thank God for His faith and determination. He went forth never doubting and never discouraged. He went forth and was true to the Father. He just let those old wicked men take Him out and hang Him to the cross. He didn't try to stop them. He didn't get a lawyer and try to get a court case against them. "You didn't let me have any chance. You didn't have any good trial for me." No, He just let them. They went through a mock trial. They arrested Him that night, went running through a mock trial, condemned Him, and executed Him the next morning. He was not even allowed to stay in the jail and let people's tempers cool down. He wasn't allowed to do that. They just got rid of Him. He submitted. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. The Father wanted Him to do that. That was the will of God. Now, did you want to follow Jesus? How do you take whenever people come up against you? You get mad, riled up, and try to argue for yourself? Jesus never did that. He just let them have it. But what happened? Jesus overcame the whole thing when He came out of the tomb on that Lord's Day morning. Alive forevermore. His disciples were so amazed they couldn't hardly believe it. That there He was again. Here's my hand. Here's my feet. I'm alive forevermore. And then, standing on the Mount of Olivet on that 40th day, they saw him ascend up out of sight into the clouds. There he sits at the right hand of God. They begin to see in the Scriptures what it was said of him. Oh, their faith. He says, go back and wait in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, till the Holy Spirit come. He told them the Holy Spirit was going to come. They went back into the upper room, continuing in prayer and supplication with all the others, 120 of them, including Mary, his mother, and his brother. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, there's all there waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Oh, dear ones, what people need to do today is give their hearts to Christ, separate from this world. Give it up, dear ones. It's nothing. It's not satisfying. I'm telling you, it won't satisfy you. You think, this is what I want. No, it's not what you want. You'll be disappointed. I've seen too many people in my time that chose the world. Very few of them chose Christ like I did. I'm not saying that boastful. That's the truth. A lot of them, I know a lot of them, they went to the world. They went money and pleasure. And most of them have the old television setting up in their home. A God that they worship. And listen, I look at their lives. I'm so glad I got saved. I'm so glad I gave those things up. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Oh, just a little more here. Which none of the princes of this world knew, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. They waited for the Holy Spirit. And on that 50th day, the day of Pentecost, they were all of one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, sitting upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave utterance. I can see them pouring out of that house, pouring out of that upper room, and preaching and singing and praising God. And the multitude come together, and everybody heard the gospel in their own language. Said, what in the world is this? Oh, some said, they're just drunk on new wine. Peter stood up and said, my dear men and brethren, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day. But this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. In the last days I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, that Holy Spirit coming in and abiding in your heart, dear ones, that's the key to being able to overcome this world. Did you know this world not only has immorality and wickedness, it's got deception, it's got false religion, it's got false churches, it's got false preachers in it. And the Holy Spirit living within you can safeguard you from being deceived by these false doctrines that's floating around. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. One more down here. It says in the 12th verse, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I wonder, what do you think? Are you willing, would you be willing to give up the world and seek after Christ? Put Christ as number one sole object of your life? If you want to be happy, if you want to be successful, that's what you must do. And that's the best thing. Christ has what the world cannot ever give you. He can satisfy your soul. May the Lord help us. I one time lived in sin and did not know my Lord. With all the worldly things, my heart was one accord. I heard the gospel preached, so rugged, stern, and true. I turned myself and said, goodbye, old world, I'm through. Oh, glory, praise the Lord, with all God chose a few. Whatever be the cause, I'm surely going through. And soon my Lord will come, the promise must be true. When we shall rise and say, goodbye, old world, I'm through. The theater and dance all held me by their charm. I said that cards and such could never do me harm. I love the worldly throng, and I love the worldly crew, till I found Christ and said, no more for me, I'm through. Oh, glory, praise the Lord, oh, if God's own chosen few. Whatever be the cause, I'm surely going through. And soon my Lord will come, the trumpets must be true. When we shall rise and say, goodbye, old world, I pray. My old companion sought to turn my soul away, and fierce temptation wrought, alluring me astray. My heart is crying pain, I'm doing hope. I shook my head and said, no more for me, I've to praise the Lord. Oh, glory, praise the Lord. Oh, if God so chose a few, whatever be the cause, I'm surely going through. And soon my Lord will come, this promise must be true. When we shall rise and say, goodbye, old world, I'm through. Now soon the Lord will come, the trumpet loud will blow. He'll snatch his waiting bride, to meet him we shall go. And as I leave this world, with all God's chosen few, I'll cast one glance and shout, goodbye, old world, I'm through. Oh, glory, praise the Lord, God chose a few. Whatever be the cause, I'm surely going through. And soon my Lord will come, the promise must be true. When we shall rise and say, goodbye, old world, I'm through. May the Lord help us all. If you're not free from this old world, seek the Lord Jesus, renounce it, give all to Him, and I'll tell you, 10,000 times its worth will be your reward and even more. And if you are free from it, stay free. Be faithful to the Lord. Let's all go up and meet Him some wonderful day.